So now with this big, huge question mark and saying, I don't know what's next, but I do know I'm going to be okay. And I do know that God's always been faithful through every other season. So if you don't know what's next, I just want to say you're not alone. You're going to be okay. And that God knows. So all you have to do right now is just relax into Him and let Him in the driver's seat.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller, Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real-life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand, and we're all hanging out in your living room together.
Fourth chair friends, we're excited to be with you again for another episode of More Than Small Talk. And today I want to give a shout out to a fourth chair friend who lives in London. She's an Australian, but she lives in London and she listens to More Than Small Talk, which I love. And she said she's in a season of really just enjoying the journey of rediscovering her identity in God. And More Than Small Talk sounds like has been a part of that. So, Erin, we are so glad that you're listening. She connected with us in the More Than Small Talk Facebook group, and we would love to connect with you too, hear what's going on in your life and where you're from, because we love our fourth chair friends.
We do. Well, we're sitting here in the beautiful studios of KLRC. And if you're not listening to KLRC, I hope that you'll go there and live stream and listen not only to the podcast, but some fantastic music to make your day. In today's confession question, we've been talking about change and transition, good and bad, right? Mm-hmm. And so how do you decide what step to take next when you are in the midst of change?
Well, as I thought about this, the first story that came to mind was actually one where I looked back and I thought, I wish I had not used that process to make a decision. So early in my career, I was working at a travel magazine and I got a job offer to go work at a software company writing software
manuals.
You're like
Shrek. You have so many layers.
So it's a completely different kind of writing, technical writing. It's not creative at all. But it was, you know, different than what I was doing and a little bit of a raise. And so I decided to take it and I was miserable. Like it was so far outside of who God made me to be. So I listened to audiobooks all day on my little thing. And so I'd be like crying at my desk, you know, in this totally unemotional workplace because of whatever I was listening to. And, you know, I say the only thing really good about that job was the coffee. And I was not great at it. Like we worked with engineers who would need to give us information. So if they hadn't, we would make a note like, you know, if this happens, ask Bob. And so the manual went out with that line. It said, like, if this appears on your screen, ask Bob. So
thanks, Bob.
So not only did I not love that job, people probably were not served that well for me being in it. But it made me think of how, you know, that was a decision that I made out of not the places that are best to make decisions from, like who God has made us, what we know He has called us to do. You know, I was young and sometimes you make a decision and learn what not to do next time.
Yeah.
And that was one of those for me.
But don't you think closed doors are just as important as open doors? Like the other night I was sitting with someone and they were talking about, I don't know what to do next. And my question was, well, what do you not want to do? And so she just started listing all the things she didn't want to do. Like she firmly knew she did not want to do these things and actually was able to find kind of an open door through closing some doors.
Yeah. So good. Yeah. Through process of elimination.
Yeah. So I'm a cancer survivor of a lot of years. I was a young mom when I found out I had stage 3 cancer. And at the time I was working at an engineering firm. Writing technical. I was writing proposals and working, doing administrative work, and definitely not my sweet spot, but I had been there for a long time and it paid well. And it had some kudos that come with it, you know, pats on the back. And I remember whenever I was diagnosed, it made me take a really good look at my life and think, this really what I want to do? Like, if I get a second chance out of this, is this what I want to do? And it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't. So one of the next steps that I took was to move toward what I'd always wanted to do, but had never given myself permission to even explore. And so I went to a writer's conference and I walked in that room, probably 200 people there. And I immediately put us in two classifications. One was all of the writers, agents, editors, publishers, and me, the wannabe, you know, completely. And I was overwhelmed and it was hard. And I realized all the things I didn't know, but it was the best next step to take because it confirmed that this is where I wanted to go.
That's so good. Well, recently I have been going through this change in our ministry and it's been a good thing, but it's really awesome to look back and see how I would have handled the situation like 20 years ago and how I handled it. Just last week, I met this change with a confidence, and usually I would just really doubt myself. But I was able to know what the next step was immediately and act on that with confidence and not have any self-doubt. So it took me a long time to find that security in the Lord and who I am and who I am as a woman. But to take that next step required me to step back unapologetically and release myself from a season that I absolutely loved to kind of just set myself on a different path, to new blessings and new open doors. And I was really, really proud of myself that it was something that I did on my own and that I made that decision with me and the Lord wrestling it out. And that I was so confident that I didn't need to ask for everybody else's permission, which is what I would have done in the past as a pleaser.
Why do you think we do that? Why do you think that when we have a next step that we start running to everybody else to figure out our next step?
I think it's fear. I think it's insecurity. I think it's...
And it's confusing.
It's so confusing. Well, and I think that when you are raised up with a lot of insecurities and you doubt yourself for so long, that that's a default. But when you work on those steps, like I went to counseling, I worked through all of my junk. But to be able to do that and have confidence in myself, I think is such a God thing, because I would have never been able to do that at 19 or 20.
Yeah.
You know, just so to think that this is a hard situation, this is a hard transition, but look what God's done in me.
Yeah. I so believe in godly counsel.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I really
absolutely.
Do. Yes. I so believe in godly counsel, but I also believe that with that, the first step that is, what do I want?
Yes.
Like, you, what does God want?
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Yes.
But before going to another person, what do I want? Clarify that. And then talk that over with someone
right.
who is living in a way that reflects godly wisdom.
Right.
And
100%.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we can hear that question, what do I want? And it can feel like, oh, I'm being selfish.
Yeah.
But in the Gospels a lot, I noticed Jesus asked people, what do you want me to do for you?
Yes.
You know? And so I think it's not about selfishness. It's about responsibility.
Right.
It's about stewardship.
Right.
Because we're told, you know, to take ownership of our lives. And part of that is knowing our desires. And God may say, you know what, I have something else for you.
Right.
But then we can grieve it and let it go and choose to go a different direction.
Well, and this situation that I'm talking about was about my career and my job. So that's a thing that I had to think, what do I want? And to know so clearly that I was doing the right thing was just such a gift to me. And to know that I could go back and talk with my mentors or talk with my friends and they were saying, you know what, good job, you know, and not, you know, beat myself up over that. So
I'm gonna throw this out here and I'm just gonna see if maybe it works this way for you. God is such an individual God and he works with us in individual ways. But one of the ways that I know that I know that I know when a season is about to change is that kind of like, let's think of somebody being hooked up to a heart monitor. I think about those coming off one at a time until there is no heartbeat. And it's like there was this passion and this desire and I still like it and I still love it and I still respect it. And there's all good things about it. Yeah. But my passion has gone away. And in every major change that I have had in my entire life that had to do with ministry, the Lord, and I think this is gracious on his part, when he's about to move me in an entirely different direction, he removes the passion plugs.
Yes.
And that's my cue to ask him, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah.
You know, it's not that I'm dissatisfied. It's not, it's that the passion is changing. And so for me, recognizing that helps me to ask what's next. Mm-hmm. Because if he's the one removing it, that means that he has something different for me. Does that work for you in that way?
Oh, something I was just thinking about that you always say is when we've talked about certain things that we've wanted to do or explore as women or as podcasters, writers, whatever, moms, you will honestly just say, that's not my season.
Right.
That's something she says all the time. Yep. Susie will say, that's not my season. And she just knows. And so she doesn't add it to her plate. And so I'm learning from that because I'm like, wait, you can just do that? You could be so certain and just be like, shut it down right now. Not my season, you know? And so I've learned so much from you doing that.
I think when it comes to like the road I'm supposed to be on, it feels that way. Yeah. But, you know, like God's like, here you go. I'm transitioning your heart from one place to the next. And sometimes that's a long process. Like I had one transition like that, that it was literally like 3 years before it was complete.
Absolutely.
But I could feel it. Then once I'm on that path, I feel like God's like, all right, now your job is to take one step every single day.
Yeah.
And you know, some days that's fun and some days it's boring, you know, and it's about consistency and showing up and faithfulness. And so I think there's like passion positions us, but then we're also called to faithfulness on the days where we don't feel anything at all. Like I don't want anyone to feel guilty if they think I don't feel passion with every step.
I agree.
I think you feel passionate about the place you're in, but not always about that particular step. Does that make sense?
No, it does. Like, which is why I asked the question, what's going on here?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really important to ask. And when this began to change and transition for me in ministry, I've been with Proverbs 31 Ministries for 14 years. Love, love, love my sisters in Christ, love the ministry, love Lisa. It has been an absolute blessing to be part of this ministry in every way because they live it from the inside out, what they believe. So when those passion plugs, sounds weird, pulling, that was actually back in December of last year. Mm-hmm. And here I am, I'm still with them. Yeah. I'm leaving in about 3 weeks. But I began to really pray about that. And faithfulness was a part of that, Holly, because I needed to leave in a way that left this ministry that I loved in a really good position. Not that I brought all that to them, but there was a role that I played. And in order for me to leave well, I needed to leave in a way that left them whole with that position.
You've been a great example of passion plus faithfulness in that process. You know,
and I absolutely am asking what's next. Lord, sometimes, and this is important, sometimes he transitions us without showing us what's on the other side.
Yeah. That's fun.
That's where I'm living right now.
That's exactly where you're at right now.
Where I'm living right now. And that is, before I would have been flailing about, but now I feel like I'm free falling, you know, really steadily. So what helps you navigate change, like hard change, Holly? Like, how do you walk into that?
You know, I think that it's what I do before the change ever comes across my radar.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel really passionately about taking time. Like I usually do it the first of the year and I'm about to do it again because we're halfway through and just sit down and say, okay, God, you know, what is kind of my mission statement for this season? What are you calling me to? I revisit kind of what are my strengths? What are my skills? Who is he asking me to serve? You know, those parameters. And there's lots of great resources out there to help you do that. One is my book, You're Already Amazing, but there's lots of other great ones too. But that gives me a filter. Mm-hmm. So probably 80% of the time a decision comes along, maybe even 90, I already know based on those parameters if it's a fit or not.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
that makes sense.
And so then I only have to really figure out that last 10%. Where in seasons where I haven't done that, then every single decision I stress out about mm-hmm. and I feel much more influenced by what other people want me to do
yeah.
or the expectations I have of myself. So I feel like taking that time up front to process and be, you know, intentional really guards my heart.
Yeah.
And that's something I've just learned through the years that I need, you know, in yeah. order to make healthy decisions. Because yeah. I want to make everybody happy all the time.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
used to be my filter, which is not impossible. A good decision making filter.
That just sets you up for failure.
Yeah. And burnout and all kinds of fun things.
Yeah.
Eating too many cookies. Like,
yeah.
Just eating lots of meds.
I mean, honestly, depression and anxiety yeah, and all of those things.
Yeah.
Well, and I think about there have been times that. I've stayed long. This has been a long goodbye. This has felt like the world's longest goodbye, but it's been needful and it's going to be a sweet goodbye. But I remember there was a time a long time ago that I knew that I was supposed to transition mm-hmm. and I was so afraid to do it. The what next of this yeah. question scared me to death
yeah.
because it was a huge leap of faith. Yeah. And I remember staying probably 2 years past the time that I knew that I was supposed to change. And I remember one day, like I was commuting a couple hours every day. My kids were young, so I was doing sports after, trying to juggle everything. And there was a clear call for me to make a change. And I remember sitting in church one day beside Richard and just crying. I was exhausted. I was so exhausted. And I looked over at him and I said, I need to quit this thing
yeah.
that consumes so much of me. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, thank God.
Oh.
Because he had known it. He had known it along with me. He had seen it. And I finally surrendered to the what's next
yeah.
part of what God had for me. Was it scary? Yes.
Yeah.
Was it good? Eventually.
Yeah.
But it's exactly where God was trying to take me. And I was resisting him. And I remember praying about that and saying, Lord, why am I fighting you so hard? And I felt this so strong. The question coming back to me, why are you fighting me so hard when I'm trying to give you the desires of your heart?
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to be open and honest and let you know, because I know that there's someone listening saying, I don't know what's next. So I just want to say, me too.
Yeah.
I do not know what's next for my life. I do not know where I'm going to be a year from now. Like if I'm going to be packing boxes, like I don't know, but what
we'll,
I do
we'll be
know,
dragging on her. You should see our eyes.
and that is such a hard thing because like you spend your life, especially like in full-time ministry, no preparing to leave. And so I had to get into this place where I was preparing to stay. So now with this big, huge question mark and saying, I don't know what's next, but I do know I'm going to be okay. And I do know that God's always been faithful through every other season. So if you don't know what's next, I just want to say you're not alone. You're going to be okay. And that God knows.
Yeah.
So all you have to do right now is just relax into him and let him in the driver's seat. You just yeah. get to ride shotgun right now. And that you're doing something really, really brave and strong just by riding shotgun. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if we do take a step forward and it's not the right one, that's not the end of the world.
It's right.
You know, I think we can get really paralyzed and think like God has this perfect will for my life. And it's like this tightrope. And if right. I step off on either side, I'm falling. And like that's, you know, I just think about the verse in Romans that says we're to test and approve God's
yeah.
will.
Yes.
And like test is like a I don't know what's going to happen kind of thing.
Right.
And
yes.
approve is like after you took the step, you go, okay, that was it. Or like yeah. with me yeah. and the software yeah. company, that was not it.
That was not
it. So I think there are times when God gives us a heads up. But yes, there are also times that we only know as we go.
Right.
So if you think you know the step you're supposed to take, it's okay to move forward.
Yeah.
Right. You
yeah.
know, and knowing that there's grace and that God can redirect you along the way.
Yeah.
That we don't have to carry the burden of getting ourselves to the final destination. I believe God will do that one way or another.
Yes.
And that he understands we are humans in an imperfect world doing the best we can to figure out what in the world is going on.
Yeah.
And there's grace for that.
And, and I don't think anything's wasted ever. No. In God's economy, I don't think that anything is wasted. I think that sometimes we'll look back as we're asking, you know, number one, who am I, you know, and what's next? We'll look back and say that season where it felt like I was in the wrong place. I was right with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was listening for God, but it felt like the wrong place. That there's redemption for that, that the Lord was doing something really cool there that plays out in all the steps forward.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think that peace is such a beautiful thing that accompanies us on our journey. So if you don't have that, that's a red flag, and, you know, just pray about it. So, but if you have that peace and you don't know what's next, it's okay for you to just relax and wait and then take that next step when God leads you to it.
And I think with that peace, it's not peace that's without fear. You know, like sometimes people say to me, well, I have a peace about it. I've watched people make disastrous decisions saying I have a peace about it. Mm-hmm. I think it's that deeper Holy Spirit peace where it's like, I'm scared, I'm unsure, but I know deep down, like you said, I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And this is what I am to do. So, you know, it's okay too, to release that desire to have that kind of, I'm not afraid peace. Cause that's probably not ever coming.
Yeah.
Like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, like he did not have a peace about it. And yet I'm confident that deep down he had the peace he needed to complete God's mission for him.
Yeah.
So if someone is in the middle of a decision today and really wrestling through, you know, what is my next step? What's one practical thing that they might be able to try that could help them have a little more clarity?
Yeah, sign up for that scary thing. Sign up for it. For me, that was a writer's conference where I walked in feeling overwhelmed, ill-equipped, and unsure. But it's exactly where I needed to be. And there were many other steps after that. But sign up for that first scary step and take it.
Yeah. And we had our writers group last night. And one of the girls, Hannah, talked about how she did that. She literally signed up for this conference. And the one editor she was going to meet with ended up not showing up. And she got reassigned to this other person who had said, I'm not even interested in the kind of books that you're doing. And she wasn't, but she built a relationship there and ended up doing freelance work for this person who then connected her, and she ended up having publishing happen. So she was like, you know, this was the worst possible outcome. Mm-hmm. I was confident God had asked me to do this, and then everything fell to pieces. And I thought I must have heard wrong. But it was actually just his plan looked a little different.
Yeah. And if you've lost a job, for some of you, that's the scary transition you're in right now. It may be learning something new that you've always wanted to. It may be in a different field. It may be taking a step of networking with someone else. You know, Holly, I called you within 2 days of moving here, and I had no idea where that relationship would go with us. Mm-hmm. I was in a new place and a new season, and I knew that my next scary step then was to make connections. And some of those connections that I made, they went on to be really strong. Some didn't. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Just take that next scary step.
That's good. So I was thinking about that one step. I honestly don't even know. But what I did recently is I scheduled that vacation that I wanted to take. Like my time had just freed up. And so I booked something fun. So I know that we have like steps of like how we can do this, but like, what if your step is just do something fun?
Oh, to fill
and
up.
Live.
To fill up.
Yeah, to live fully and go and get that break. Do that fun trip.
Yeah, I think that's great because as we've talked about, change is stressful.
It is.
So anything that helps you have a little more energy and strength. Mm-hmm. And I think mine would be, you know, set aside some time if you haven't lately to just be still and ask, like, what do I really feel called to in this season? And I know that can sound vague and you may not get an answer. You may walk away still saying, I have no idea. But just knowing that you've been intentional with that time, I think can be helpful to you. So even if it's just 10, 15 minutes or on your commute or whatever that looks like, giving yourself permission to take some time to think about what's ahead.
So next week, our episode is Just Be There. What is a time where someone showed up for you? It's going to be a beautiful conversation. We can't wait to have it with you.
If you've been enjoying this podcast, let me tell you that we have enjoyed being with you as well. One of the ways that you can get the word out is to share the podcast with someone else. In the More Than Small Talk Facebook group, we'll always post this on Thursday. It's a public group, so you can repost it. But you can also post it on your social media site or Instagram. I hope that you'll follow each of us on Instagram so that you can find some of those graphics and things to share with others. But we love you. We're thankful for you. And we love that you are sharing this with others.
Yes, that can be your next step.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on KLRC.com. You can also join us in the More Than Small Talk Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite podcast app so you won't ever miss an episode.